It's a roadmap. And with that being said, you know, we look at that Bible, and like you do on a roadmap, you got places you like to be, places you like to see and go and do. And I know I got that a Google Maps thing on my phone. And, you know, you can go in there if you know what you're doing. You go in there and you put that little thing there, and it tells you where you're going, where you've been, and the favorite places and places that you want to go. Even if you want to, you can leave a review on it. That's getting a little bit more than what I need to do, I think. So, y'all bear with me here. Got to get organized. We'll get her here in a minute. Y'all need a wider pulpit here. Thing don't look so big. Looks bigger from back yonder, but you get up here, it ain't much to it. All right. What's deeper than the well? Anybody got any ideas? Anything deeper than a well? Well, we're going to talk about the well tonight. Look in your Bibles at John 4. And we're going to read 1 through 42 when you get there. When you get there, say amen. I'm going to put these eyes on. I don't know if I'm going to need them all together, but I'm getting to that age. Amen. Got the bald spot and lacking hair. Boy, I'm doing all right. All right. Now, why are you here tonight? I'm going to ask you that question. Why are you here? Are you happy to be here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here tonight?
Amen.
There we go. Now you're making a believer out of me. All right. I don't want to wear you down there, but all right. We're going to read a good bit, so I'm not going to ask you to stand. Just bear with me. I don't want you to go to sleep on me. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, and I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, and we know that we worship, for salvation of the Jews is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You ever wondered why he put this in here in the middle of all that? He says, But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him out to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his works. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did, or ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And he said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a minute. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for being able to come to your word today, Lord, to be able to speak your word that you've given me. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, that you step me aside and put you into place. Lord, I ask that you open the ears of the people here today, open their hearts and their minds. Lord, help everyone to gather your word like you're gleaning from a field. Lord, thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. As we all know from reading the Bible, that the Samaritans were looked down on. They weren't people that were really, the Jewish people really didn't care for them a lot. Now, these people were of the bloodline of Jacob. They were also, but they were kind of intermixed with the other races in the area. And they wasn't really looked at as people that was favorable. Y'all remember the story of the Good Samaritan and all that? Well, they weren't they were the last person that you figured to stop, according to the Jewish people and their thinking. But these people are people too, right? Even the worst of us deserve Christ, right? And you know, as me and Brother Darren back there have talked before, I wasn't the best character in the world, neither was he, but for some reason the Lord chose us to do what we're doing, and each one of us has been called to witness and to praise and to worship and to give the word to others, no matter whether you're up here or out on the streets. It's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. But with the Jews despising them, and they would actually go around Samaria to keep from passing through it. Now, that's hatred right there. That's terrible. I mean, there's some places in Roanoke I won't go down, but that's because of my safety. But it ain't got nothing to do with the other. But, you know, that's common sense and good sense right there, just to kind of stay away from it. So, with that being said, you know, they went around it. Well, Jesus chose at this time to go around. He tells it, or to go through it. And he's going through, he's going to the well, he's tired, he's weary, and he tells us all this, and he's sitting there at the well, and that's kind of where we're going to start out here. As he's resting at the well, the Samaritan lady comes up at this time, and she's by herself, as it's believed that the other women didn't really want her around because she wasn't of their stature or their character, however you say. They kind of shoved her off to the side. And the women would usually come in the morning early because it was cool. I guess that was kind of their little chat room that they'd have. They'd get up there to talking and to work, you know, gossiping over here. Would you see what Sister So-and-so did, you know? But that's, they're there, they're getting their water for the day, and they're going back home. She's coming in the middle of the day. Well, at this time, she's really getting the benefit of all of that, don't you think, for what she's about to receive. So, now my handwriting is terrible. I just realized that. These glasses on, it makes it worse. But, so, Jesus asked the woman for a drink, the woman for a drink. He was asking her there, said, you know, hey, give me to drink. And it was kind of coarse sounding, but that, you know, that's how they were back then. And then it wasn't a custom for a man to talk to a woman back then. Not somebody out of the way. They were more, that was just wasn't what they did. So he asked her for a drink. Well, there's something else. He's done talked to a Samaritan. He's done talked to a woman. But yet, you know, Jesus, he's going to do what others don't think is right. It's not the law. But he's moved to talk with her. He's moved to tell her. He's moved to give her the word that he's about to give her. So in verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So if thou knowest the gift of God and would have given thee the living water. And she's amazed that he can give her something to drink, and he ain't got nothing to dip it out with. Now, I'm pretty sure, being Jacob's well, it was probably pretty deep. It was probably been there a long time, so you know it had to have a good volume of water in it. And she just can't figure out how in the world he's going to take care and bring that water up. How's he supposed to give her water? But she really doesn't know what the living water is that she's going to receive. And sometimes I wonder if we forget what that living water is that we received. So, now, remember verse 10. Now let's look at verse 14. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now that well of water is Jacob's well is an earthly water. This is a spiritual water. Amen. Let's look over to John 7, verses 38 and 39. I just love the sound of pages when they're flipping. Yeah. Can't do that on the phone. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my... Am I in the right place? No. I marked my page on the wrong side. Y'all bear with me here. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. That's a big statement right there. And for what this lady is about to do here in a few minutes, and Jesus, she hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet. Oh, what a day when she does. Let's look at Titus. Let's make sure I didn't do it on this one. Titus chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. I'll give y'all a minute here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, we become clean. We get a new spirit. We get a new soul. We get a new life. We get a new start on things. You know, and how great is that to be able to just know that you can come to the Lord and you can be redeemed. You can be forgiven. You know, that is in itself is an awesome thing. That it's just crazy to not want that. Verse 15, he says, Do you think she truly believes or knows who Jesus is just yet? Now, she hasn't quite grasped. She's still thinking about worldly water. And that's okay, but, you know, she just hadn't quite got there yet. And there's a lot of people that we know. You know, Pastor's been talking about on Wednesday nights, talking about, you know, I missed all this before I started coming in. But he was talking about worshiping, you know, receiving or telling people about the Word and telling them about this and how to talk to others about Christ. And this is a good example of this. He says, but Jesus takes her to the law by asking her about her husbands and the fact that she has more than one. And she tells him the truth, but she's getting a little bit closer. She's getting just a little more meat and potato in the potatoes in the stew. And that's a good thing. But he asks her, says, well, she thinks he's a prophet. Well, I guess in a way he is, but he isn't. She gets it here in a few minutes. And she's about to know the truth. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we were created to have a relationship with God, a daily walk, and conversation with him through his word. Now, that's our purpose, is it not? We're supposed to worship him, glorify him. David had it right. Even though he messed up a bunch of times, he was a man after God's own heart. But he knew how to worship him. Man, he'd get up and dance, he'd praise him, he'd love him, to be able to come to church and get up and love on God, to raise your hands in worship and praise and to lift your voices, not only in song, but in love. And why have we come into that generation of sitting as stones in a church instead of raising up out of the seats in glory and praising the Lord? Amen. You know, this is the time right now, and I'm going to step away a minute, but this is the time right now that we need to be reaching others, because you got so many people that are lost. We've got teenagers that are thinking that, you know, hey, the best way to do these things is just get rid of our life. Let's just end it. That's not it. Man, they're missing out on so much. But we as a church are responsible for this. We have let the next generation down. Is that okay? No, it's not. And, you know, I'm just to blame for it as anybody else. I've been, you know, you're happy, you're sitting in your church pew, and you're doing inside your walls. You're not doing outside in the community. You know, each little thing, you know, you go to, and this is the thing that gets me. I've heard this a lot, and some of y'all know that I'm on the board down at Solomon's. It's not about the church inside of Solomon's. It's about the community around Solomon's. Because the church inside of Solomon's is growing, and it's going to go. It's going to go out into the community somewhere. But we need to come together as a family under God, as we were created, to go out, to come together as a group of Christians, one body of Christ, with one head. And we're supposed to do this. And we need to come together and we need to worship together. We need to do these things instead of being a church over here, a church over here, a religion over here, this over here. And religion is a key word. That's where we're all messing up anyway. We're too worried about doing church instead of being the church. And we need to lift up out of that. We need to get that living water back that we talked about a few minutes ago. We need to get that living water back in us. You know, he talks here in a little bit. She's getting, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but she's going to receive that living water. But not just yet. Not until Christ dies on the cross and he comes again and he's glorified. He tells us that there. He's not yet glorified. Man, could you imagine if every one of us sitting here got moved by the Holy Spirit like we should be doing? Man, could you imagine how we wouldn't have nothing on the Pentecostals? Them people couldn't have nothing on us. We'd be rolling in the floors. Amen. Man, it'd be so much dust flying up off the seats, it'd be crazy. But you know, that's what we need. We need to be alive. We need to be that living water. We need to be the future going forward. We need to take this COVID thing that come around us. We should have been on fire using that to bring others to Christ. If ever was a time, that was it. And we're still there. We're still able to do that. But not sitting in our seats. Not being comfortable with where we are. I wasn't comfortable the first time I stepped up behind the pulpit. God, why'd you put me here? And I'm going to tell you, I argued with him a lot. I didn't have no reason being up there because I didn't live the best life in the world. Well, it ain't about what I did. It's what he wanted me to become. You know, that's what it's about. Any one of you here can Brother Paul back there, I'm going to miss you on Wednesday. I found out this week that I got to go to work got to go to Richmond. So I won't be here. But man, just to be able to stand up and fill in for your pastor, that's a blessing. Amen. And for God to be able to push you to do that, and he will, man, he's got a big thumb. But just allow him to do that in your life is a blessing. Amen. Brother Brian, same way. Damon, I haven't heard you, but I've heard about you. And man, that's awesome to stand up for the Lord that way. That's awesome. Amen. But let's get back here to verse 25. And she says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Well, he just told her about everything. Everything that needed to bring her where she needed to listen. And it says, upon this in 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Well, I think they've been with him long enough, they know that he's got a purpose for what he's doing. And he's there for a reason. He doesn't do anything without due regard. Now, As she's saying here now, the woman left her water pot. I love this. She's so happy she left her water pot, and she went on her way into the city and saith to the men, you know, of course, he says there in 26, I that speak unto thee am he. And I'm going to ask y'all this. Who do you say he is? Who is he? I don't hear you. Who is he? Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. He's not just Jesus Christ. He is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Y'all got to remember that. Now, you know, he asked the disciples this. He says, who do you think I am? And, of course, they go on. They say a few things here and there. I think she's over in the corner going, hey, he's the Messiah. He's Jesus Christ. Hey, look over there. There's the man that saved me. That's the man that gave me the living water. Isn't that something? That right there, we all ought to be up shouting. That's just, you know, that is great. And she's going down. She don't even have the Holy Spirit behind her on this. She's just on fire for the Lord. She's going to town. And, you know, of course, she's telling all them guys down there, and they might be going, I wonder what she's telling everybody about. You know, that might not be something I want told. But they come. They heard. They listened. they received her word that she told them because they probably saw a change in her. I mean, she wasn't taking that water pot back. That's a lot. You know, but she had an immediate love for him to go and tell those people about him and to receive that living water that she had received. I just don't get it sometimes. You know, and as she got that picture there, I wonder sometimes how many folks out in the world are at this point in their life to where they are almost to the point that they get Christ, but they don't want it. They don't want to believe on him. And you know, and we have Christians, I'm not judging, but we have Christians that are there at that point too. They've believed to right here, but they haven't took that step to go the rest of the way. They haven't wanted to make that 100% commitment. They're at 88.5 or whatever, and that's it. That's as far as I'm going to go. I'm going to sit on my seat. I'm going to come in and sing songs. I'm going to come in on Wednesday night, and we're going to be happy. And that's all I'm going to do. Well, won't you help with won't you help with the play? Won't you help with this? Won't you help with that? Oh, I got too much to do at home. I got housework I got to do. I got to watch my TV show. I got this. I got that. You know, that's nothing compared to the joy that you're going to receive. And if you have that excitement in your life for the Lord, you're going to want to get up. You're going to want to do. You're going to want to, man, you're going to want to jump up and shout and just praise the Lord. You know, and I find working for the Lord as I should. He tells us in Hebrews, he tells us in James, we need to be working for the Lord. Well, you know, it's not, I show you my faith by my works. Not by works, by faith. You know, that's we should be up and we should be excited to do for the Lord. If you're getting weary, yeah, stop. You got the whole Mary and Martha thing. There's too much of one and not enough of the other. You need to flip every now and again. Sit down and stop and listen and wait upon the Lord. That's what you got to do. That's part of it. That's part of all of this. And He gives it to us. He tells us where we need to go and what we need to do. I mean, you know, I kind of think these people that aren't quite there in the Lord reminds me of my wipers on my little gray car I got. I got to one on the passenger side. Man, you can see real good. I'd have to lean over here. But as you're driving down the road and it's raining really hard and you're going, man, I can't see the road. You're getting them on high, you still can't see the road. You can't see those yellow lines. But you need to change that wiper. You need to change the way you're doing your life. You need to make that further step. I need to remember when it's dry to stop at the store and get me another wiper blade. But also, if you're at that point, you need to come into the store of Christ and give Him your all. Not saying that you're not a Christian. All I'm saying is if you ain't got it, and you ain't going to get it because you ain't gave it to God. You got to give your issues and your problems 100% to God because He supplies your every need. How many in here have been supplied by the Lord? He supplies my every need. Amen. Well, why not do it again? You know, why do we tend to hold on to these things and say, I can fix it? It'd be a whole lot easier if you go, here you go. I'm done. It's all yours, Lord. I know you can do it. You've done it before. You know, He can make our lives better. He can make it a whole lot better. And they just need to take their steps and their actions and make a change in their life. And that's what the Samaritans did here. That's what the Samaritan woman did. That's how she moved forward. That's how she went on to the other people. She had courage to talk to these people. And I'm sure she infected those women that were there, the ones that snubbed her because of who she was. You know, I'm sure that caused a stir within the group. Now, maybe she never made it back to the water pot up on the hill there before noon. That don't matter. What matters is that she took the effort to tell others about Christ. And that's the main thing. You know, that well, Jacob's well, is a ritualistic place. I'm going to call it that. That might not be the perfect words for it, but how deep is your well? Do you have that living water running in you? Is your well full of just regular old water? Or is it sweet, fine water that you want to just dip in cool water? You know, when you've been out hot, it's just the hottest day. Spring water is the best. And that's my mind what happens. It says to me that there's a spring running, and that cool water, it's kind of sweet tasting. You're back in the woods hunting, whatever, and you find a good water hole, I don't care what. You take a big swig of it, man, that makes you feel good. That's just great. And you know, as these people were moving and doing through Samaria, and I imagine and I'm totally off my notes, but we just tend to bottle up that water. You know, I want to call it sippings. You crack a lid on it, you drink a little bit. Oh, I'm good for a little while, you know, let's put it up. Well, what we don't understand is we don't need to do that. We got a lifetime supply of living water. And you know, and after that fact, we got an everlasting life. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. And we miss it so many times because we let the things of this world wear us down. They let us, we just get so bogged down in all that happens that, just like Brian the other morning, he was talking about having to go crawl under this little bitty space and dig down. And then aching and paining afterwards. Well, I seen him on Wednesday. He's walking around pretty good, so it must not have been too. Either that or the other boy was digging it out instead of him. I ain't figured, you know, that's what happens when you're the boss. But, you know, we give those things to him, those situations. He loves us. He died on a cross for us, did he not?
Amen.
You and me, before we were even thought of. And I think back to Acts when so many people were saved, when they received the Holy Spirit. And this lady, I could see her. Could you imagine? Maybe she was in Samaria. Maybe she was fixing supper. Or maybe she was back at the well when Christ died on the cross. And then your time came through, and you know, he tells us about the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine all those people receiving the Holy Spirit at once? That's just a hallelujah right there, isn't it? That's awesome. I mean, to tell you what, I just can't. That just makes my heart just warm up. I mean, that is great. And it, you know, and there were so many people saved back then. They talked about, and I'm gonna go into Acts a little bit. Y'all bear with me. I don't know the scriptures that's going along with it, but I feel like I'm supposed to say this. You know, you had a woman, you hear Paul talking about the woman outside the church, outside the walls. She's down there by the creek, and she's teaching, and she's speaking to the others there along with it. Can't remember the names. There's one soul right there that's reaching out to others. And then you got another over here that's running along. You got people up there in the over on the other corner over here, and said their house was saved. You know, how is it that we just can't get back into that nowadays? We need to get that living water back into our hearts. I mean, yeah, we have our times in church where we're just fully into it, and we're into the Lord, and we're doing our thing, and this, that, and the other, and we're doing what He wants us to do. But why do we not do that all the time? Why do we not praise the Lord all the time like we need to be? I'm guilty of it. I let the world come in and put my stuff in a mason jar and put it over in the corner. Let's open the lid on that today. And let's pour it out. And let's invite others into Christ. Let's give them a little bit. If you see a brother and sister that's down in Christ, man, text them. Call them. If you can't speak very well, there's so many ways of communications now that you can do that. You know, and you got this thing called Facebook or social media. What if, how many people we got here tonight? 30, 40 people? What if every one of us started putting a scripture, started putting something about Christ on our pages each and every day? How many people would you touch? Think about it. That's our responsibility. If you can't confront somebody with Christ one-on-one, you don't think you can. You can do it right there. Everybody agree with me on that?
Amen.
Why are we not using what's in front of us? God gave us as a tool. That's a tool. You know, it's misused in so many ways. I got hacked this week. Praise the Lord. Somebody was looking at what I was doing. That's the way I look at it. And they might not have liked it. I don't care. If they don't like it, do it again. I'll change my password. We'll keep on getting it. You know, it doesn't matter now that I know how to do it. But how can we can use these things as tools. We can use these things to glorify God. Look back at you, those that have Facebook or social media. I challenge y'all to look back at your pages for a month. How have you glorified the Lord through that? That's your greatest impact that you have, is those things right there. Why don't we use them to glorify the Lord? Spread that living water. Spread that love of Christ, as only He can show us how to do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Brother Paul.